Good morning. God is good. And all the time. Amen. Good job. In your bulletin today, I provided a very simple outline, and on the back of it is the scripture from the translation that has meant a lot to me in the last year or so. So feel free to use the outline. Hopefully it helps you. I found that if I take notes, it doesn't matter who is speaking, I can get something from what God is speaking to me to take home, and it helps me remember it throughout the week. We're going to start out with a short video, and then Joe Richardson is going to come up and read the scripture for us.
Psalms 46. God is our shelter and our strength. When troubles seem near, God is near, and he is ready to help. So why run and hide? No fear, no pacing, no biting fingernails. When the earth spins out of control, we are sure and fearless. When the mountains crumble and the waters run wild, we are sure and fearless. Even in heavy winds and huge waves, or as mountains shake, we are sure and fearless. A pure stream flows, never to be cut off, bringing joy to the city where God makes his home, the sacred site where the Most High chooses to live. The true God never sleeps and always resides in the city of joy. He makes it unstoppable and unshakable. When it awakens at dawn, the true God has already been at work. Trouble is on the horizon for the outside nations, but not long until kingdoms will fall. God's voice thunders and the earth shakes. You know the eternal commander of heavenly armies surrounds and protects us. The true God of Jacob is our shelter, close to his heart. Come gaze and fix your eyes on what the Eternal can do. Amazing, he has worked desolation here on this battlefield, Earth. God can stop wars anywhere in the world. He can make scrap of all weapons, snap bows, shatter spears, and burn shields. Be still, be calm, and see, and understand I am the true God. I am honored among all the nations. I am honored over all the earth. You know the Eternal, the commander of heavenly armies, surrounds us and protects us. The true God of Jacob is our shelter, close to his heart.
Thank you, Joe, for reading that for us. First thing that I want to point out is found in verse 1. God is our shelter and our strength. when troubles seem near. Troubles seem near. You may be familiar with a children's book about a 7 or 8 year old boy entitled, It Was a Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. It was written by Judith Viorst. I'd like to read parts of that for you. Alexander was a boy about 7 or 8 years old, and he had one of those days when everything went wrong. Disasters right after another. Nothing went right. It was a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. For instance, when Alexander woke up in the morning, he discovered that he had gone to bed with gum in his mouth. And when he awoke, it was in his hair. When he got out of bed, he tripped over his skateboard, and then he dropped his sweater into the sink where the water was running. He said, I just knew it was going to be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. He went to school. It turned out to be a horrible day there. After school, he had a terrible experience at the dentist's office. Then came supper, and he said, we had cauliflower for supper. I hate cauliflower. And on TV, all I saw was hugging and kissing. I hate hugging and kissing. Then my bath water was too hot, and I got soap in my eyes, and I lost my marble down the drain. When I went to bed, Nick took back the pillow that he said I could have, and my Star Trek nightlight burnt out, and I bit my tongue, and the cat decided to sleep with Nick and not with me. All in all, he said, it was a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. At the end of the day, he just felt like he would run away from his troubles. You ever felt like that? Trouble from a child's perspective is different. We can laugh about this story, yet when we experience trouble, it can be overwhelming, especially if experienced alone. So what is trouble? According to Webster, it's a state or condition of distress, an annoyance or difficulty. Why do we experience trouble? It can be caused by sin. It can be a natural consequence, a result of sin. It can be because we are living in a sinful world. Could be my individual sin, why I'm going through trouble. It could be someone else's sin. God can use trouble to draw us closer to Him or to redirect us. Sometimes we interpret circumstances as trouble because of our limited understanding. One thing for certain, we don't grow out of all of our troubles. Many times they become more difficult, even overwhelming. Trouble affects all of us. In John 16:33, Jesus talks about trouble. It says, in this world you will be plagued with times of trouble. He was speaking to his disciples. One thing for sure, we've either just gone through trouble, we're in the middle of trouble, or we're about ready to go through trouble. Are you depressed yet? Okay. How about some good news? Let's continue on with verse 1. At the end of verse 1, it says, God is nearer, and He's ready for help. God is nearer, and He's ready to help. The end of John 16:33, where Jesus was telling His disciples, you'll be plagued with times of trouble, He goes on to say, you need not fear. I have triumphed over this corrupt world order. Those that know me well realize that music is a big deal to me. Music's had a significant influence in my life. Sometimes God has used songs when I'm going through a particular rough point, when I'm dealing with something. Many times, listening to Christian radio or Christian CDs, God's used that. And there's a song right now played on Christian radio that's called Need You Now by the artist Plum that I'd like to read you the lyrics. Well, everybody's got a story to tell, and everybody's got a wound to be healed. I want to believe there's beauty here. I get so tired of holding on. I can't let go. I can't move on. I want to believe there's meaning here. How many times have you heard me cry out, God, please take this? How many times have you given me strength just to keep breathing? Oh, I need you. God, I need you now. Standing on a road I didn't plan, wondering how I got to where I am. I'm trying to hear your still small voice. I'm trying to hear above the noise. How many times have you heard me cry out, God, please take this? How many times have you given me strength to just keep breathing? Oh, I need you. God, I need you now. Though I walk through the shadows, I am so afraid. Please stay. Please stay right beside me with every single step I take. How many times have you heard me cry out, God, please take this? How many times have you given me strength to just keep breathing? Oh, I need you. God, I need you now. I like, Lisa, would you go ahead and come up? I've asked Lisa to read this, some of the story behind the song. I think it's interesting many times to find out what the artist was going through at that particular time that led them to write this song. And this is an interview from the artist known by Plum. Her name is Tiffany Lee Arbuckle. And Lisa's going to come up and read that now.
Okay, she says, Need You Now is written out of a conversation my coworkers Luke, Krista, and I were having about how God never grows tired of our needing him. He has this romantic, jealous, passionate love for us. He is just chasing after us, and all we need to do is turn and say yes. This song was kind of created from growing up with a stomach problem. I actually had a major issue with anxiety. I would pray and pray and ask for his help just to get through the pain. The past few months, I went through some things that I never thought I would ever go through. This song has ministered to me more than I could ever imagine because it says, God, I need you now. I need you. It's just like saying, all the many times I've needed you, those were a big deal. But this is an even bigger deal. Just realizing that he doesn't grow tired of that, and he's still as close as he was when I was in high school praying in a bathroom stall for a stomach ache. He's still as close as when I'm asking him to be with me in the hardest times I've ever experienced in my life.
Thanks, Lisa. In the next slide, we see in John 4, 46 to 47, there's a story recorded about a government official with a son near death. I'll read it for you. As Jesus traveled to Cana, the village in Galilee, where he transformed the water into fine wine, he was met by a government official. This man had heard a rumor that Jesus had left Judea and was heading to Galilee, and he came in desperation, begging for Jesus' help because his son was near death. He was fearful that unless Jesus would go with him to Capernaum, his son would have no hope. Two words that I want to point out to you in that, and that's the word rumor and desperation. Have you ever been desperate for God? Troubles can make us desperate for God. The next point in the outline comes from verse 5. It says, "The true God never sleeps and always resides in the city of joy. He makes it unstoppable, unshakable. When it awakens at dawn, the true God has already been at work." God is aware. He's not surprised. Remember the classic movie, Fiddler on the Roof? There's a scene where Tevier, the main character, is walking on a dusty road, pulling both a milk cart and a lame horse. Remember that scene? He says, "Ah, dear God, was that necessary? Did you have to make him lame just before the Sabbath? That wasn't nice. It's enough you pick on me. You blessed me with 5 daughters and a life of poverty. That's all right, but what have you got against my horse?" He continues, "Really, sometimes I think when things are too quiet up there, you say to yourself, let's see what kind of mischief I can play on my friend Tevier." In another scene, he takes special offense because the righteous seem to suffer as much as anyone else. Some even suffer more than those who could care less about God. During one particularly bad day, he mutters, I know, we are the chosen people. But once in a while, can't you choose somebody else?" Jeremiah felt that way. In chapter 12, verse 1, he had the confidence. He says, "The Eternal, you always do what is right when I bring a complaint your way. So now let me put a case before you. Why do the wicked prosper so much? Why do all the untrustworthy have it so easy?" But he had the confidence that if he brought his request to the Eternal, to God, that he would take care of it. It's easy to feel that if God could do something, he would. Or to think that it's cruel for God to allow suffering when he could stop it. In our minds, it's not logical for God to allow the suffering to continue. Yet I believe that the reason we don't understand is because we have a limited perspective, a limited vantage point. The Apostle Paul talks about that in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 13:12. "For now we can only see a dim and blurry picture of things, as when we stare into polished metal. I realize that everything I know is only part of the big picture. But one day, when Jesus arrives, we will see clearly, face to face. In that day, I will fully know, just as I have been wholly known by God." The lyrics of the Casting Crowns song, "Already There," talk about our limited perspective. The words go like this: "From where I'm standing, Lord, it's so hard for me to see where this is going and where you're leading me. I wish I knew how all my fears and all my questions were going to play out in a world I can't control. When I'm lost in the mystery, to you, my future is a memory, because you're already there. You're already there, standing at the end of my life, waiting on the other side, and you're already there. From where you're standing, Lord, you see a grand design that you imagined when you breathed me into life. and all the chaos comes together in your hands like a masterpiece of your picture-perfect plan. When I'm lost in the mystery, to you my future is a memory, because you're already there, standing at the end of my life, waiting on the other side, and you're already there. One day, I'll stand before you and look back at the life I've lived. I can't wait to enjoy the view and see how all the pieces fit. One day, I'll stand before you and look back on that life I've lived, because you're already there. You're already there. I'd like to show you some optical illusions. Do you like optical illusions? This first slide. What do you see? It's a little hard to see. Man and a woman. An old couple is remembering the times when they were young and full of life. There's more than just a man and woman in this picture. Okay, in the face, there's a young man, the face of the old man, there's a young man playing a guitar. You may not be able to see it real well. The nose, the mouth, and there's a young lady in, or young man in the other side as well. There's a young lady in the ear, standing in the archway of a door, and in the middle, profiling the face, is a chalice. The next slide. What do you see here? Face of Jesus. Maybe difficult to see, but there's also Jesus' nose is actually a profile picture of him sitting on a donkey. And there's a number of other people around there, followers. And the next slide. I really like this one. This is an artist rendering. I really like the outline of the trees. And then in the middle, in the sky, the background, Jesus' face. Let's go to the next slide. Let's look at our world. You recognize this? Parking lot of the church building, a satellite view. Okay. This was before the pavilion was put up. Hopefully, as the building project progresses, it'll be a much different view. This is part of our world. Let's zoom out a little bit. Go to the next slide. This is the very same picture, just zoomed out a long ways. If you can see the little A there, the red A, that's where we are. That's part of our world. Now, each person that is represented with this church, the church building, that perspective is still a very zoomed out view because we all have different stories. We all have different areas of influence. I'd like to share part of an article written by Ravi Zacharias entitled A Bigger Story. A story is told of a man who was fishing. Every time he caught a big fish, he threw it back into the water. Is that how you fish? Every little fish he caught went into his bag. Another big one, back into the water. A little one, into his bag. Finally, a man that had been watching him asked, "Why are you throwing the big ones away and keeping the little ones?" The fisherman replied, "Because I only have an 8-inch frying pan. Anything bigger than 8 inches doesn't fit into my pan." We can chuckle at that. But isn't that a lot the way we are? If something doesn't fit into our preconceived idea, we throw it away. Does our understanding of the world, our worldview, does it match reality? Does it fit? Does it make sense? Every worldview can leave us with some questions. Will leave us with some questions that we can't totally exhaust until we get to heaven. Every worldview has gaps, especially from our limited vantage point. We all have a story to tell. Our life experiences are unique. Here's a quote from someone who's been given a unique platform, a very popular platform. In the eyes of society, she's very successful. I have an iron will, and all of my will has always been devoted to conquering some horrible feelings of inadequacy. I'm always struggling with that fear. I push past one spell of it and discover myself as a special human being of worth. Then I get to another stage, and I think I'm mediocre and uninteresting and worthless. And I have to find a way to get myself out of that again and again. My drive in this life is from this horrible feeling of being inadequate and mediocre. And it's always pushing me and pushing me and pushing me. Because even though I have become somebody, I still have to prove that I am somebody. My struggle has never ended, and it probably never will. Do you know who said that? Madonna. What a struggle. Please hear me. I'm not suggesting that she's someone to follow. Rather, she's just like us. She's a sinner loved by God. She's been extremely successful from the world standards, yet she is searching for the answer to fulfillment in life. She still has this struggle of feeling down. Success or failure without God is empty. Tony Dungy, in his book Uncommon, asks, "So why are you here anyway?" He goes on to say, "Your life has been intentionally designed by God to have a uniquely significant and eternal impact on the world around you." In another part of the book, he talks about multiple platforms. You all have multiple platforms from which to impact the world. Too often we look to others to do that, or we decide that we'll wait until later. Later, we tell ourselves, I'll have more free time. Later, the kids will be out of school. Later, I'll have more money. Later, I'll have more name recognition. Or we don't think that we have the expertise to change what needs to be changed. No one would listen to us anyways. Perhaps the things that need to be done are too big, and we don't know where to begin. At that point, we don't even promise to do them later. We just throw up our hands and walk away. Maybe, hopefully, someone else will do that. Your role is significant. Heard on the radio this morning about Dr. Billy Graham. Six years ago, 2007, he gave his last public meeting. Since that time, his life was made up of about six decades of preaching, evangelizing all over the world. since that time, his role has changed, but he still has a significant role. The person was commenting how Billy Graham still writes a lot, still meets with people to pray with them. That's significant. It's just very different from what his role had been. So your role will not always be the same, but you still have an important role to play. I remember my mother expressing disappointment and not being able to physically do everything that she wanted to for others, especially the last couple years of her life. But she always had a ready smile, a word of encouragement for those that would listen. And she prayed for many, many people by name each day. To her, it didn't seem significant. To those of us that were in contact with her, it was very significant. Will I choose to trust God? It's the last question on the outline. Will I choose to trust God? Has the Holy Spirit been speaking to you? Are you feeling empty? Will you trust Him enough to follow when it doesn't make sense? Maybe you're frustrated with God because life hasn't turned out the way that you planned. You know that God could work it out for you, but He hasn't done that. And now you're mad at God. Maybe you can feel God asking you to give more of your time and your talents, but you don't see how that's ever going to work. Will you trust God? Dr. Nell Collins had spent years studying and preparing to be a missionary to Africa. At age 29, she was diagnosed with cancer. That changed her plans. God redirected her. At first, she was angry with God. In time, she accepted and embraced that God is in control. She now has a ministry to cancer patients in Indianapolis, Indiana. Because she allowed God to use her trouble, she has helped many, including my sister Carolyn. Carolyn was dying of cancer when she shared this quote from Dr. Nell Collins with Sharon and I. God has every right and my permission to rearrange my life in any way for His glory. Worship team, you can go ahead and come up. God says in the last slide, be still, be calm, see and understand, I am the true God. I am honored among all the nations. I am honored over all the earth. Some translations say, I will be honored among the nations. I will be honored or exalted in the earth. In the outline, I've given you a quote to take home that I really like from Tony Dungy. It's, God calls us to be faithful, not successful. He calls us to follow those dreams that are in our hearts and to pursue them with all our might. God's scorecard is different. He judges by the state of our hearts and our desire to serve Him. Don't ever sell yourself short. God's purposes are greater. There's much to do and much that you are capable of doing. As the worship team leads us in the last song in just a minute, I invite you to come forward. If you're choosing to trust God in a specific way, if God's been speaking to you in a specific area this morning, if there's something specific that you need to surrender to God, I invite you to come forward. Maybe it's your perspective. Maybe you feel that God's not been fair to you. Maybe God's been calling you to make a larger commitment and you haven't been willing. Maybe God's asking you to be still, to spend time with Him away from the distractions of life. Will you choose to trust Him?
Stand with us and sing. am. Who is worthy? None beside thee. God Almighty, the great I am.
Amen. God bless you, church. You are dismissed.